We're talking today with Mike Spradling, president of the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Mike, as we come down to the last days of 2011, quite a year as far as agriculture was concerned in the state of Oklahoma, and for a lot of your members, a very forgettable year, the year they'd like to put behind them.
Well, definitely. You know, there's a lot of things certainly that happened in agriculture, but one thing we'll all remember would be environment. You know, we start off in February with temperatures negative 33 degrees in the state of Oklahoma. Then spring comes, and certain parts of the state, as you well know, we had floods that create some problems for agriculture. And then we move on into the summer, and then, you know, actually, you don't even have to go to the summer. Within a week of the negative 33, in some parts of the state, we had 76 degrees. We had a 100-degree temperature swing in 1 week here in the state of Oklahoma. Then, as I mentioned, the floods. And then, of course, we all know what we've gone through with the summer. With the excessive temperatures, prolonged excessive temperatures, and the drought that we've had to experience. And, of course, we've had a lot of hail in the state of Oklahoma this year on that side, and then a lot of heavy winds and fires have occurred. And, of course, then out of all of that, then we've had to deal with the earthquakes as well. So, you know, I tell everybody we've had everything but the locusts, and I just hope it's too cold now for them to come. But I have to be careful to look up everywhere I go. I'm just wondering if space junk's going to fall out of the sky on Oklahoma now. We've had a little bit of everything this year.
Yeah, you know, as we think about how a lot of your members had to respond, of course, for our cattle producers, it meant making some tough decisions on their herds to try to hang on to at least a remnant of them to come through the drought.
Absolutely. And, of course, one of the hardest things about that for a lot of our farmers and ranchers is the fact that, you know, it wasn't just absolutely losing the beef on those hooves. It's the genetic pool that for decades that several of these farms and ranches have built up their herds based upon the genetic traits they want to. In some instances, certainly, you know, those were lost. And I think that was the hardest thing for a lot of the people is just what they had invested in the genetic pool in all those years. You know, we can always come back and find another beef cow to purchase and put on the deal. But again, there's so many of them that developed those traits that the consumers wanted and what they were proud to represent in their personal herds that some of those are going to be not only difficult to rebuild, but almost impossible in some instances.
When we think about, you know, some of the things that the organization experience during the year. I know that as you wrapped up last year's legislative session, it seems like Farm Bureau was very pleased. Your lead lobbyist and a lot of your members, I know, very pleased with how things worked out as far as legislative session 2011.
Well, we almost had as good a season as the Cowboys. I mean, you know, it was a 12. We had 12 bills that was certainly priorities for us, and we got all 12 of them signed by the governor. Certainly, we're still always looking at the property rights, private property rights of our individual members, as well as tax issues. And, of course, Oklahoma, we know we're going through the Oklahoma Comprehensive Water Plan. It's still something we're very concerned about and want to be certain that we stay involved in as we develop the final plan for that. But, yes, we had a very very good year that been all that, certainly because of the involvement of our members.
When we think about the legislative process at the federal level, we obviously think about Farm Bill. We think about the efforts made by Congressman Lucas this fall with Ms. Stabenow. That didn't really work out. It means we're still going to be writing a Farm Bill in 2012. And I know that the American Farm Bureau, at your resolutions meeting that you were a part of as state president, the American Farm Bureau resolutions that are going to be recommended to the delegates fairly prescriptive about going a little bit of a different direction than we've seen in the last couple of bills.
Absolutely. You know, American Farm Bureau as well as Oklahoma Farm Bureau, we've always wanted to protect the direct payments. And, you know, certainly we've come to the conclusion as American agriculture is not only in the state of Oklahoma, but American Farm Bureau. We know that there's going to have to be some cuts made, and we know the deficit is really crippling our country, and we're willing to do our part and our share in order to help meet the balance of that budget. But we're asking, certainly, and we're going to demand that we're willing to do our share, but we want it to be proportional to the budget process that agriculture receives, that all segments of our economy need to share in balancing this budget. But we realize that, you know, we're going to be moving away from direct payments Congressman Lucas told us quite some time ago that it's probably going to be very impossible, you know, to be able to hang on to those. And we realize that, and we're willing to do our part. Most of it, again, from the American Farm Bureau's perspective, is, and you talk about moving away from traditional, as we move away from the direct payments, we're looking at more into the crop insurance part of it that, you know, that our members can buy into and help get involved and have a little, if you will, skin in the game. You know, for their future as it comes to this economy and, of course, their finances as it comes from safety net programs with the USDA.
At this point, you know, as you met with other Farm Bureau presidents from around the country this last week and went through the resolution process, other things that maybe stuck out in your mind that delegates may be working on next month?
Well, we're always concerned about regulatory affairs, and of course we're still dealing with EPA on dust regs. Now we've got circumstances here with the Department of Labor as we start to look at child labor on agriculture facilities, and you know, it's one of those things we're very concerned about. That we know how it may possibly affect, certainly in the state of Oklahoma, our 4-H program, our FFA programs, but more important than that, you know, farming and ranching in Oklahoma, that is a working laboratory, and it's just no other place that young people can learn how to get involved and have an interest in agriculture. Secretary Valsack told American Farm Bureau Council of Presidents just earlier this year that within the next two decades, we're going to have to come up with 100,000 more farmers and ranchers in this country. Well, where are they going to come from? I mean, people just generally don't wake up in their mid-20s or 30s and decide to want to become farmers and ranchers. We have to have an opportunity to give youth an opportunity to experience rural agriculture, because not all of us certainly have an opportunity to live. Less than 2% of us, probably 1.5% now, actually get the opportunity and to live up and grow up on a farm. But all these other youth that have interest in agriculture have to have some way to experience it so that they develop that interest at a young age and carry it on through high school, college, and then as a career.
You mentioned EPA, of course, and dust regs have been one of the big battles of 2011. Seems like we have a lot of other things that are out there that they're dealing with in regards to pesticide rules and regs, the problem of Congress not acting on this duplicative set of regulations or permits that are needed. EPA just keeps coming up in the equation time and time again, it seems like.
Well, it's our concern that, you know, the regulatory issues are trying to propagate law without Congress making the law, actually. And, of course, that's a big concern. And as you well know, there's a lot of these regulators that really have never experienced what we're having to deal with. And it seemed like they're trying to justify their existence by coming up with more and more regs. Certainly we have to live under you know, the laws and regulations to provide for the safety net of this entire country. But they have to be utilized and developed in a common sense manner and science-based as well. And those are some of the things that we're really concerned about that we're seeing. It seems like it's just on a whim of a feel-good, or it's what they think is the best thing for the environment, when essentially, again, science hasn't proved that that's necessarily the way to go. And all those things continue to add expense to our production of food and fiber in this country. And the last thing we want to see is that, you know, we start forcing and having agriculture outsourced into other countries. We need to do what we can to protect the farmers and ranchers of this country and ensure that as much of their food and fiber can be produced here, because it's not only just an opportunity and a necessity for the consumers of having a good supply of food at an economical price. It's homeland security for this country. It's important that we have enough food here produced in this country that, you know, whatever disasters may occur around the globe, which we're starting to see more, but that we assure that we have enough food produced in this country, first of all, to take care of the American population and, of course, to take care of other peoples of the world.
One last question, Mike, and that has to do with within the state, looking ahead to 2012, we're starting to see some things, you know, come together for the next legislative session. The Board of Equalization just the last day or so has come up with the estimate as far as the number of dollars that'll be available for next fiscal year. Looks like maybe a flat budget is what we can hope for at the state level this year. And I guess, if anything, that's really a victory.
Well, it would be. Of course, the things we have to look at is for agriculture, is we know that they're having to work on their budget, is, you know, what things may come on the table that may be chopped on the state as well as we're looking at on the federal. But we look at our sales tax exemption. Certainly something that we're going to always be as a priority for Oklahoma Farm Bureau to protect. And, of course, industry as a whole, it's important that we keep those. I do think I've had been a lot of meetings where a lot of the tax exemptions are going to be on the chopping block. But I think the ones that's really essential to the state of Oklahoma that creates jobs and really enhances our economy will probably be safe. And I think agriculture will be one of those as well. But we still have to assure that that's going to happen. You know, we talk about and what we hear about right now about the possibility of the state income tax being eliminated. Certainly that's, like I say, I've been several meetings where that becomes an interesting topic. We certainly have policy that we are not in favor of eliminating, but we need to take a look at that and see how they – our concern would be that if they shift that burden over to agriculture or anywhere else. Now, there is some theory that maybe they can – eliminate the income tax without shifting the burden, and so that concept's still being developed, and certainly we'll take a look and see what it has to say.
Oklahoma Farm Bureau President Mike Spradlin out of Sand Springs, the Tulsa County area. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.